The line is open, the light is near. Bring your question, leave your fear. With angel spirit signs and soul, the unseen world begins to glow. Loved ones, guides, and truth come through. Tonight the message may be for you.
Ask the angel.
Open your heart tonight.
Ask the angel.
Step into the light. Now welcoming Rachel Corpus, angel incarnate and psychic medium. This is Ask the Angel.
Well, hey everybody, what are you doing here? So glad you came back. You're looking good tonight. I like your hair. I like your eyes. I like your spirit. Let's just take a minute to just feel where we are in this existence that we are creating. I had an amazing conversation with someone today. And at the beginning of the conversation, the thought was, I'm stuck in this reality, in this place, and life is happening to me. We know that feeling, right? I mean, every one of us knows that feeling. But then when we brought spirit in, what they reminded us is we're the creators, we're the writers, we're the programmers. How many times, just in the last few weeks that we've begun this journey, Ask the Angel together, how many times have we heard from spirit or asked each other, what would it be like if we were creating this reality? Or even we've gone a step further and we've said, look, this reality, we're creating it. It's a hologram. It's a holy simulation that we are modifying as we go. We're waking up to that reality. Well, by the end of the conversation that I had with this beautiful person and her guides, the trajectory had changed. I could see the coding around her, her auric field, her data. I could see all of that changing because not just her thoughts, but the feeling of her thoughts had gone from, this is the way it is. This is my lot in life, to, all right, I get what happened, but now this is what I'm claiming. And she started to visualize the universe as her sacred employee, not her boss, or not something that just barfs out or perpetuates the next thing, but something that we work with in real time. Also, I mean, that's a lot to chew on. I hope you're awake. Also, a weird thing that happened to me today, I had a time glitch. Y'all, I had a time glitch. So I'm taking a little 15-minute break, getting ready to get on the call with a client, and gonna look at my planner here. So I had a little meeting at 1:15, went great. Session, 2 p.m., went great. Getting ready to go on the next one, I look, and it is now 1:15 again. 1:15 on my computer. Now, my computer has one of those settings that it naturally follows the time zone. So I checked my location, still here, Des Moines, Iowa. The time had changed. I could also not get on that call for the life of me. So I messaged that person, and I said, could you let me know if you're on the call? And this is not the first time it's happened to me, not with this person, but another person who's very dear to me. This kind of thing has happened before. So I said, could you let me know if you're on the call? I'm having a little kind of time glitch issue. She said, well, I was for a second, but then the call stopped or you weren't there or something. And I said, okay, I'm trying to get back on, but I'm having a time glitch issue. And I noticed when I sent it, it was still in the 1:15 time. So we emailed back and forth, and the time was changing to like an hour ahead, then an hour back. So we worked it out, worked out fine. But now we obviously are in the right time code because we're sitting here together, but things are shifting. How does it feel? And how do you feel this week after talking about so much last week about the Hadron Collider being shut down for its scheduled maintenance, which we know it is, but there's always something else going on too. How have you felt? Has your spirit been calmer? Just some things to wonder about. All right, let's jump into the good stuff. This week, we're exploring a question from Quentin, who watches us from Eureka Springs in Arkansas. I'm going to say Quentin. I don't know how you pronounce your name, but I'm from Southern Iowa. So if I was getting back to my roots, I'd say Quentin, Quentin from Eureka Springs. But I'm going to speak like the opera singer I was trained and call you Quentin. I don't know how you say it, how your mama says it, but tonight you're Quentin. Quentin from Eureka Springs, Arkansas. You probably go by Quentin. Here's the question. Dear Rachel, my spiritual coach tells me that the hardships we face in each lifetime are part of why we're here to learn and to grow. If that's true, how do we keep from getting stuck in all the learning? When does the struggle become growth instead of just struggle? Well, I have a feeling that that's something that a lot of us think about from time to time. And I couldn't think of a better person to help us answer that question tonight than our guest. So our guest tonight is someone named Mindy Jackson, and she has one of those stories that reminds us that even our greatest challenges become our greatest teachers. She's also someone that has been through it, and she hasn't gotten stuck there. In fact, it created this life of healing and bringing people with her and creating from that place. So Quentin, when we get into your Quentin, when we get into the answer to your question, we get to see in real time that maybe there's two paths. We can get stuck in the learning that's kind of lower dimensional, hard stuff, or we can utilize it. We get to ask her about all of that. So, a little bit about Mindy before we bring her in. She is a professional counselor, she's a Reiki master, spiritual coach. She's a Rose Path initiate and the founder of the Sanctuary of Crystal Sophia. We'll ask her about that. What I love about her is that her work bridges the worlds of traditional psychotherapy and spiritual healing, blending counseling with energy healing, intuition, shamanic practices, and other holistic approaches to help people navigate trauma, PTSD, and life's biggest transitions. Her own spiritual journey began when she was just 5 years old after a near-death experience. Then she had encephalitis and a series of out-of-body experiences that opened her awareness in extraordinary ways. Then, in 2023, her life took another unexpected turn when she suffered a post-operative stroke that caused significant vision loss. During that recovery, she felt called to paint all 22 major arcana cards of the tarot. As she completed each painting, she found herself living the lessons of each archetype. By the time she finished the collection, which she calls Return of the Divine Feminine, she had regained about 95% of her vision. So tonight, we're going to explore what healing really looks like for her now, and how, and for all of us, and how intuition can guide us through life's darkest moments, and whether our greatest challenges can become the doorway to something even greater. Please join me in welcoming Mindy Jackson, who asked the angel. Welcome to the show, Mindy.
Hi, thanks for having
Hi.
me.
Oh, I'm so glad you said yes. Thanks for sharing your time with us.
Well, I'm really excited to be here because I just started the journey of public speaking and sharing my story and the mission that I've been given in late May. And I think this is podcast 18 or 19 for me now. So it's been a lot in a short amount of time, and I've really enjoyed every time, every moment.
Well, that's interesting because if it, things happen, people say in divine timing, and you'd know if it wasn't time because you wouldn't enjoy it, right? It
Correct.
would be
Correct.
re-triggering.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. You had your first near-death experience when you were five. Looking back now, what are some major ways that you still feel that NDE shaping your life, or how has it shaped your life?
Well, I would say that it definitely kept my channel open. That's one way to put it, is when we're born, we're pretty wide open, and we all have the capacity for various intuitive gifts. I think actually we're meant to just be intuitive all the way around, because that's what our
Everybody is, you think?
right. Yeah, I do. And well, I think maybe there are some that are not. That's a possibility, that there's a part of the population that are not. And maybe they're here to remind us what it looks like to not live from our divinity and our intuition, our inner knowing. But yeah, I think, because it happened at the age it did, I didn't have a lot of the world's conditioning yet. I had some, sure. But this was in the summer before I started kindergarten. And back then you didn't have pre-K. So, what conditioning I had would have been a trickle-down effect. What I say from thousands of years, honestly, and influences from my family, my community, and so on and so forth, and my personal experiences as a child. So I think the changes to my neurological system, that's on the physical side of things, right? Sort of left the door open. And when the conditioning that did come, came, it just sort of made spider webs in the door. And of course, there were times where I tried to shut the door and walk away, but I couldn't. So it's been a periodic pattern of awakening and reawakening and over and over and over again. And I think this time I was like, okay, I get it. Can we stop having the big lessons and now be the teacher?
So when I had my first NDE and it was serious head trauma as well, I feel like you're right. I feel like it changed our brain in some way and started that process of like keeping us open and expanding us. And also, like you, I feel like throughout my life, I kept having like more head trauma, like more stuff happened to my head, including like migraines and stuff like that. Like things would open up my head to make sure that I didn't ever, I think, go to this side of the spectrum where I was shutting it down totally, or I wasn't aligning with people who were like too shut down that I didn't want to follow them too much. I think there were reasons why I maybe, I don't know if you want to say like I wrote it in my timeline or God put it in there. I don't know. I don't know, but do you think there's any validity to that? Like we kind of had to keep like ding, 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 keep it open, keep it open.
Well, I mean, I kind of alluded to it a moment ago, that we've had 2,000 plus years of control, systematic control.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make a political statement here.
That's
What I
okay.
will
Just say
say
what
is,
you want to say.
we don't even realize just how conditioned we really are, and the feminine doesn't realize just how masculinized that she is. So things like working on a schedule, that's a masculine oriented
Yeah.
frequency or energy. So there's so much that was hidden from us purposefully, so much that, a lot of the systems we have in place for society were manipulated, were used to control, to keep us believing that we were small and weak and sinful. And trauma reinforces that to a degree by making us feel trapped and helpless and powerless.
Yeah.
So we grow up with this idea of something's wrong with me or something's bad, right? And depending on the different influences that we have in our life, we may internalize a lot of that. So I think when we have these, what in shamanic practices called die a little death, what we're having is we're having experiences that reopen little gateways that maybe we tried to close, or that the world around us tried to close. Maybe we wrote those into our timeline on purpose, right? So, if we have, I think, we're going to have crises, and maybe some create more than others. Sometimes we don't. I don't believe we create them. We may create the lesson or the type of experience we may need to evolve, or to sharpen that particular intuitive capability. But I do believe it's sort of like a reminder occasionally, and sometimes it's harsh. Sometimes it's
Yeah.
just something smaller. And thankfully, once I for myself started clearing trauma, generational, ancestral, and personal trauma from my body and my energy field, I stopped attracting it. I stopped writing that into my timeline, so to speak.
That when you stopped attracting it, is that something you did on purpose, or did it start to create itself out, or can you tell me
Probably
more
a,
about that?
I would say probably a bit of both, because it's sort of an energetic principle of like attracts like, right? So if you're holding on to traumatic energy in your body, whether it's your own experience or that of your mother, grandmother, great grandmother, and so on, then it's if it doesn't have anywhere to go, it wants friends. So it's going to attract these. But I think part of the purpose of it is to bring attention to it, to bring awareness to it, so it can be transmuted.
Heal me, heal me, heal me.
Yes, exactly. Trying to get your attention, just like a little kid that's standing there going, "Mama, mama, mama," right? It's saying, and I see this with very difficult emotions that we really weren't taught how to cope with and learn from and gain wisdom from in our culture. Once we bring our awareness to it, we satisfy a certain aspect of it because it wants our attention. It wants to be acknowledged because it is part of our story. It is part of what shapes us, so to speak.
And
And
sister, you know what I feel like you're doing too is like you're helping us remember how to go back within and deal with what's being nudged at. Because for so long we were told, well, when you don't know something or you don't feel well, go ask the teacher, go ask the doctor. But that is also seeking authority, an authority figure or an outside tool. Not that it's wrong, but it's still outside of us, which feels like it was also part of like the control pattern. Like you don't know yourself, so go ask somebody else. And doesn't that feel like it's kind of under that umbrella of you don't know yourself? You forgot that you already know. You forgot that you don't know how to heal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the more we internalize that control or those expectations outside of ourselves, the more we look for some kind of God external to us and then try to internalize the, well, where is he in there, right? We take away from that very simple wisdom of, oh, I am me. I am meant to be me. I'm meant to have this life. I am creating it. Life is coming through me. And as a feminine, especially the divine feminine, we are a sacred portal. And when we
We are
started to
life.
externalize the lack of the teachings were somewhat lost, the importance of it being sacred, that we can literally through the feminine principles birth new worlds, right? When that was sort of downplayed and suppressed and then turned into something gross and nasty and all of the negative connotations, right? What do we do here when we realize we've even internalized all of that external stuff, right? And that's where conditioning really takes hold. So then the person tends to make decisions based on this internalized external expectations and control. And then you wonder why you feel psychotic because your innate mental health, your divine essence is always pushing forward because it is natural for the human being to move towards light and towards healing. So when that's blocked, when that light is pulled away from us and we feel like we're just chasing, 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 we have to remember, wait a minute, where does the light originate? It originates inside of me, inside of me. So we can't look at it literally. We can't look at God is within me as in there's some dude sitting on a cloud, sitting
Right,
inside
that's
my
the
chest.
religious God. Yeah,
Right.
that's the
But this
man-made
idea
religious
of
God.
I
Yeah.
am divine is what Shua is, who I've called him. That was my childhood friend. Shua, that's what he was saying was when he was referring to the kingdom of heaven is within you. I don't think he said it exactly that way, but yeah, that was what he was trying, the teaching he
Did.
was trying to give us.
I feel like he did. I feel like that's close. That is what he said. Like it's in us. The kingdom of heaven is within us. The
Yes, I
kingdom of
don't
God
think
is
he used
within
the word
us.
kingdom, is what I mean,
Yeah.
because that would mean masculine power only, and he was not here to teach that. He was here to
Right.
teach that we all are divine essence, and it is the union
But
of
I don't
our.
think in the I don't think the original word had king in it. I think it was like palace or something.
I'm not sure 100% on that. My sense and my feeling is that it was transcendent. It wasn't
Like the
meaning.
expansion.
It was the recognition of all of us as divine. So
Yes,
collective, the
within,
collective,
yeah.
for lack of a better term, I guess.
So when you refer to Sophia, are we talking about like the mother God? The feminine
Yes.
component of God,
Yes,
because
in the Gnostic
that's
terms,
what
that's
God
where
people.
we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us a Gnostic Sunday school lesson for third graders or fifth graders? And go. You can do it.
Good way to put me on the spot there.
You can do
And
it.
I wasn't raised Gnostic, but
Well, that's
Gnosticism
okay.
makes
Well,
more
not many of
sense,
us
right?
were. Not
But
many
the
of us were,
Sophia.
but you felt it all along, didn't you?
Yes, absolutely. And when I
Yeah.
say this, especially our feminine presenting people, you're going to notice it yourself. So, the Sophia is the feminine principle, basically saying there's this descent of wisdom, right? Descended from where? Well, if you really look at it, it's higher wisdom, higher knowledge, higher consciousness,
This
right?
deserves a
So,
pipe.
what is wisdom? And if you say descent of, what you're really saying here is the embodiment of wisdom, right? So, this is that deeper sense of I am more than I've been told that I am. I am this sacred portal when I really think about it, because through my body, a formless consciousness becomes a human being, right?
Yeah.
And that is divine. So when we say Sophia, what we're saying is I recognize that I am wisdom embodied. I don't have to have studied all this philosophy, even psychology, and had all these life experiences and travels. I don't have to gain it. It's already there. I just have to uncover it. And so
Yes.
the Sophia Christos is that recognition of the inner union of the divine masculine and the Sophia or the divine feminine. And when the union happens together, you become a whole new being, that transcendent being. I like to say we're becoming homo luminous. We're becoming
Homoluminous.
homo luminous.
This is the second time
Yes.
you've said something that I want to write down. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna write it
So
here.
what we're seeing is the return.
So it's the return of, it's not becoming, it's remembering that we are.
So it's a return of the key, kind of thing,
Return.
like to turn again. So what we're doing is turning
To
again,
turn again.
to turn again. Yes.
Return. Which to me, when you say it that way, this gives me chills. Something I was just shown was that when people say that they want to shift into the 5D, the next, it's the returning to it. It's the return to it.
Right, but it's also a transcendence of. So it's both, really. So
Yeah.
it's recognizing, oh, here's the core of who we are as a divine essence, but transcendent because we're in a different place of the universe than we've ever been before. We
Yeah.
have frequencies hitting our earth, our bodies, our consciousness that we haven't had before. We have
Right.
knowledge and access to knowledge that we didn't have before.
Right.
So We are literally returning to what is true. We are using discernment to sift through all the knowledge that we have at our fingertips to find what resonates, and that's trusting one's inner knowing. So we are returning, even if we don't realize we're returning, to that natural Sophia.
So for those who don't realize they're returning, for even for, let's say it's me and I think I'm a really spiritual person and I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm returning. No matter where you are on that spectrum, will there be a moment for all where you're like, okay, this is what it feels like? Will there be an
Yeah, and it feels like hell at first.
I concur. Okay, let me ask. I'm going to change the question. For those who are not spiritual, who are not spiritually aware, we say it with no judgment, but those who are like, some people would say, oh, they're an NPC. Will they return?
In their own time, sure. Yeah.
That's what I've heard too.
And people, and when I say people don't realize they're doing it, here's what I mean by that. People are now looking at yoga as a normal thing, whereas
Yes.
even 10
And
years
Reiki.
ago, it was a little weird. Yeah, Reiki. People are building community because the feminine, right, is about nurturing, it's about intuition, it's about conscious flow, sensuality, and it is about building community or building family. So I think a lot of people are hitting this place where it's kind of like we realize that we can't keep being separate. And the whole notion or the whole narrative of other has to go because that has been used over and over and over. We're down to the only other we have left is the ETs.
Right,
So
and
when's
they're
that
not even
false?
feeling like other. Yeah, right.
Right. When's that
They
false flag?
integrate
When's
too.
that false narrative going to come in
Right.
and be used as a system of control? And, but here's the beautiful thing. They're far advanced. If they wanted to control us anymore,
Or hurt us, would have happened
if
already.
they wanted to obliterate us, they would have already. And besides that, I don't think they fared too well with our use of nuclear war in the past.
No.
So, I don't think they
And
would
they've put a
allow.
stop to things. And
Yes, exactly. If it
the
feels fearful, it's probably not true.
it's
If it
not, it's not
feels
true. That's part of
loving,
the
it
conditioning.
probably is. Yeah.
There's so many times that I've heard spirit say, there is nothing and no thing to fear.
Right.
And when I didn't understand that this was more holographic and that we were creating it, I thought that makes no sense. Somebody could come in my house at any time and kill us and take our money. And I thought, but I didn't
That's not
understand or I
real.
didn't trust at that point what this reality was really like. They're right. There's really, and I don't want to diminish the stuff that people are experiencing. I'm clear on that. I don't want to diminish that. But they're right about that. There's nothing to fear. And so when you know that truth, but then also recognize that there's so much fear that's pumped into the system to control
Yes.
us. Oh, that made my ear ring. Ouch. It's really unbelievable. And it's to keep our it's to keep us down, because if we stopped fearing,
We
it's
become
just like,
sovereign.
as an exorcist, the first thing they taught me was,
Yeah.
do not
Be
fear.
afraid. Do not show fear. Yeah.
Don't show fear. And when you feel the fear, ask yourself, where does that fear come from? Who does it belong to? And what you're moving back into the spirit world, it knows your fear. So it's going to show you. If you're afraid of clowns or something like in the movies, it's going to show up as that. It's going to show up. If you're worried about something happening to your kids, it's going to show you that. So know what you're afraid of and then laugh at it or say, you're making that up. Take your costume off. As soon as you know that, it like dissipates and it can go home to its mother or wherever it's supposed to go. As soon as I learned that stuff, I was like, okay, what are we doing here? And that's, I feel like, it's very specific to me and a few people, but my prayer is that we can get more to that level on earth where people realize that fear is made up.
It is. Now, that doesn't That doesn't say that if you've experienced something very horrible,
That's
that
true.
you don't have a nervous system reaction, because we are flesh and bone also. But fear, if you think about it energetically, right? Fear is dense, heavy energy that anchors and locks in. And we
And
have been
creates a
kept.
physical space.
Yes, it can. Yes. And so we have been. We've had the narrative repeated and the validation to be fearful over and over and over again. Just turn on the news, right? So the difference here is that what's natural to us is always expansive. So we're always having to push against. So they're having to always bring up a new narrative, and cause something big to happen over and over again. But what if you just for a moment said, okay, if it kills me, I'll just come back. No, that sounds
What's the
crazy.
worst thing that could
What if,
happen?
right? So if you go, and I do this with my clients, tell me the worst thoughts that you're having in your head. Now go worse, go worse. Now I want you to go to the other end of the spectrum and tell me what's the best case scenario. Because in reality, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, and you can then move in the direction you choose. So if you're in the middle, you go one way or the other. So if we choose to continue in fear, and this is what happens when we have trauma, either collectively or individually, generationally, ancestrally, right? Is we carry this dense, heavy energy, and our intuitive capabilities are locked into a certain space. It's like it can't expand because you're constantly scanning your environment to see where the next threat is. So when my clients start to really transmute that energy, find meaning in their experience, have a sense of purpose in all of it, what they notice is that they shift from their intuitive abilities being fear-based, looking for a threat, when's the other shoe going to drop, to love-based, to, oh, I am a cool person. I would hang out with me. And guidance. They're looking through the eyes of love, or through the heart of love. Their intuition is now expanding rather than staying locked in or contracting all the time. And they are seeking positive experiences. They want to help other people heal. How many people have healed? And then they want to help other people heal, right? And they then go in with this sense of purpose, and they realize, wait a minute, this is not who I am. Like, there's something else that's me also. And I have a great little activity I do with my clients to help them really see that for themselves. And so to see them shift from that fear-based to love-based, they then realize, oh, it's like they woke up, right? They realize all the conditioning. Well, no, I can't say all, but I will say they will realize the conditioning, the ways it's come about. They will realize and recognize the lies that have been told, how things have been squashed and the voice has been silenced. And then we have the fury. So then we have to learn how to channel sacred fury rather than egoic anger.
Because one is helpful and one is helpful and one is not.
Well, and the one that I say sacred fury, you're not just mad. You're not just angry about something that's going on. You are feeling the weight of all of those voices that came before you that got silenced. All of those carrying that feminine energy who were killed for it, right? Just to continue a narrative, just to continue that system of control. There's a reason the divine feminine threatens the toxic masculine, right? And I'm not trying to be a feminist here either, but well, I kind of am.
Just do
not that
it.
way, right? But when you realize, when you wake up to what's going on, and a lot of people these days say, I stepped out of the matrix, right? Basically, that means you just have eyes to see what you couldn't see before, right? You
That's
have a
right.
awareness of something instead of being caught up in your head, which is the way the world wants you to be. Well, the systems of control want you to be. You shifted from this active thinking into awareness. So try this real quick. Bring your attention to the tip of your nose. Breathe in and notice that the air is a little cool. And when you breathe out, it's a little warmer. So in that, what, 3 seconds, where did your mind go? It was in awareness, not active thinking. So our world is constructed to keep us here. Because if we shift into awareness, we naturally go here, we go to our heart. What happens when we go to our heart and we have this expanded awareness and we're operating from love and we're building community and we're seeing through the bullshit? Oh, sovereignty rather than slavehood. We have freedom, liberation, rather than being locked in and continually fearful, continually believing that we're powerless. We're not powerless.
My autism needs to tell you something.
Okay, go for
I
it.
want to go back like 1 minute.
Okay.
You were talking about kind of like a process to talk about. Well, I just want to, when we went back in our conversation, I just want to validate that the way you work with your clients feels really good because it feels like they would not have to bypass anything, like their feelings or their trauma. And yet they could feel empowered by knowing that they can create something with it and something
Yes.
better. And I
Yes.
just love that because I find it to feel like bullshit when healers are like, you know, like when I said there's nothing and nothing to fear, I feel really tender about that because I don't want people to ever think like we're denying that the world is real and
Right.
that trauma is
Right.
real.
It's not bypassing.
And then from that, like you went really cosmic and it made sense because you went from a really grounded space.
Yeah. Well, and what I've noticed is that when I have to do a pre-screen with my clients, right? Because I'm not going to work with people who are still stuck in victim mode. Go get your core services, learn some coping skills, step out of victim mode. Once you're stepping out of that and you can recognize that you are and you're struggling, that's where I can come in. Maybe you've already stepped out, but now you're like, my life just seems colorless, like dampened, and I'm always kind of going back to this fear. So there's this kind of back and forth. I teach my clients how to feel energy for themselves. We can all do it. It's not hard. So once they can start using
We
that
probably
deeper
do it and we
intuition.
don't know we're doing it too.
So how many times have you said, I feel the energy of that? How many times have you been around somebody like you're in a shitty mood and you get around somebody who's really energetic and you feel better, right? I can feel the energy. How many times can you put your hands near one thing? I mean, it was a real test. And close your eyes. Somebody can move that thing and you can tell somebody moved it. Right? So, okay, here's another example. You ever been in that classroom setting or, whatever public setting where you're sitting down, you're focusing, but you feel somebody staring at you. So you turn around and you see they're staring at you and you both like break eyes because, and it's not a sexual thing, right? It is energy is meeting energy. You can feel it calling it because there's that coherence is there. And then you do the weird, awkward like check every now and then and you catch each other doing
Are
it
you
again,
still looking
right?
at me?
Right. So I help my clients go, okay, let's bring you back into your body. Let's bring awareness to your body. We use mindfulness skills and somatic awareness. And I'll say, okay, what feels like is your stuff and what's not? And that's not even going into the trauma. That's talking about just their everyday life right now because their everyday life is filled with trauma reactions and negative core beliefs and all of these things that trauma, as well as life in general and maladaptive adults, have caused, sort of led to. And the person, what they're doing is, their divine self this whole time has been trying to create this way through this density and forgetting to get back to who they truly are. Because if you don't have the density to anchor high frequency energy here to begin with, right, you can't be here for one. Secondly, if you're here, like most people who are awake and awakening are to help change things, right? Then you have to know what dense energy feels like to transmute it. So if you can't feel it, so what's the first step in removing a splinter from your foot? You notice that the damn thing's there. That's the first step. So with my clients, when they're talking about their everyday life, I'll say, okay, pause for a moment. And what you're feeling right now, what you're experiencing right now, how much of it feels like it's magnified because of other stuff? Like that might be in the background. Like, do you feel like you had an overreaction? Who defined the line to begin with, right? So why do we say overreaction? Over what? So when it feels like an overreaction, rather than somebody else telling you you're overreacting, right? That's where you have your own awareness. This is where that discernment can come in, and you say, oh, okay. So I was right to get angry about that, but I really kind of lost my shit and I blew up and said them. So yeah, okay, there's the guilt. Let's deal with the guilt. Let's look at the shame. Where does the shame come from? All those negative core beliefs, right? Okay, so how much of this is yours and how much of it is not? So let's, with love, just say return to sender. And imagine you're just pushing it. Well, you gotta, I hate the word imagination. I really do not like the word, because we have been handed this idea that it is not a
Made up,
value. You
right?
made this up, right? That
Channeled.
dream, that was just a dream, or you just imagine. Well, where did it come from? It had to come from some idea somewhere,
Yeah,
right?
that's true.
So instead of saying use your imagination and see the energy, I tell my clients to visualize. Use your visual skills and tell me, what color do you sense that this energy is, or what texture might it feel like if they're more tactile, right? So I get them to really embody themselves, really get in touch with kind of feeling the difference in all these different types of energies. And emotions are energy in motion, right? They're not meant to be stuck in us either.
Right.
So it's more empowering when it comes to that moment where that client actually like grabs hold and releases and wipes their hand of it, closes the door. There's lots of different methods I use, but that moment when they do it for themselves is so empowering. Can I do it for them? Sure, but that's not empowering.
Well, and I think too that that's something if we have chosen to step forward as the teachers this time around. It feels like part of that sacred agreement is like, okay, we'll do it, but you shouldn't need us forever.
Yeah, because my clients actually heal. You
Yeah.
know, trauma is a challenging one because it doesn't always get to the energy. Now, things opened up and started changing when Bessel van der Kolk came out with his book, The Body Keeps the Score. People started kind of getting it then,
Oh my
because
gosh, yes.
EMDR is still the gold standard. If you ask any therapist right now, they're gonna, what the gold standard to treat PTSD is, they're going to tell you EMDR. Well, you know how many clients I have come to me and say, well, I did EMDR like 6 years
I hear
ago
that
and it
all the
worked well
time.
for a while, but
I hear
then.
that all the time.
And it's the reality is you didn't get to the root, and the root is energetic.
Well,
It's
we
not
have a
just
lot
about the
of people talking
memory.
about integrating psychedelics as well, which is fine, and I love that for them, and I've tried it as well. Love it for me. And also, you don't need that outside thing. You,
You just need to learn how to recognize it. And
yes, go
now the
within. So
transmutation process can vary from person to person, but if you beef yourself up and say, what is an alchemist? What is an alchemist really? Right? Then can you not see where you are an alchemist every day?
Yeah.
I mean, you turn, you know, this yucky, toothy toothpaste stuff into
Yeah.
watery spit that goes down a drain and becomes part of the earth. You just made earth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a stupid, simple, right, example. But if a person can really get that I do have control, which is what we're taught not to have, and trauma
Right.
tells you, yeah, you don't have control, and that is real. A traumatic experience is a traumatic experience because it's unexpected most of the time, 99% of the time, I would
Right.
say. And it's outside of your control. That's the reason your nervous system has the reaction it has. It gets overwhelmed by something that it didn't expect. But let's say you're in a abusive relationship, or you're a child being abused at home, and you know, oh no, when daddy gets home, he's going to hit me, right? Well, before daddy gets home, you're already tensed up because you
And
know what's
after
coming.
that, it changes the reality afterwards because you're wondering, am I safe?
Yes, and they're constantly, through fear, scanning their
Yeah.
environment to see if they're
Yeah.
safe, right? When that child gets to a certain point in their development where identity starts to form, right? That sense of identity, that sense of who am I on the inside, often can either feel absent, right? Or it can be shameful because I must be bad since daddy hit me,
Oh,
right? And that's
must have
what
been my
happens.
fault.
Exactly. So this whole like, you're the reason I'm mad. Well, that adult not taking accountability for their own fucking feelings is the reason the kid got
Right.
hit. You made a
Yeah.
bad choice because you didn't learn to deal with your feelings when you had that resource available to you. Now, some people did not,
But we
previous
are taught
generations
to
did.
obey authority figures.
Exactly. And if you think back to being a child, we believe what we're told. We believed in Santa
Yes.
Claus and the Easter
Yeah.
Bunny, like Tooth Fairy. Like, we believe what we're told until our experience tells us different. And
Right.
sometimes that experience can be the older sibling telling you,
Yeah.
oh, just watch, they're going to get them out of the closet. So when we grow up with this
And then
idea of
the
there's an
belief is
authority,
just expanded into whatever. It's like for that child who was hurt by her dad, it's not like, well, that wasn't true. Her truth expanded. Like, okay, now authority figures are unsafe.
yes. And if they are a fighter versus a fleer or a freezer, they will buck authority. This is where you get ODD, right? This is where you get that rebellious, oppositional kids running away from home. Well, my question is, what are they running from? Because that's natural for a kid
Right.
to do, is to run from a
Right.
threat. And if they don't have a way out, if they don't have a door, then they feel trapped and they freeze. If they
Right.
can run and hide and get away, they can escape. So all of these behaviors turn into the kid at school that gets into fights, or the kid that runs away or gets on drugs and alcohol, right? It's escapism. Or the person who just stands there and watches the bills stack up, stack up, stack up, stack up, feeling I can't do anything about it. So all
Yeah.
this has authority over you. This has control over you. This makes you feel powerless, helpless, trapped, and your nervous system is the innate mental health trying to get you out of that, right? We're then told, oh, you're overreacting.
Calm down.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, tell a woman who's pissed off to calm down, see what happens. So, and with the world constructed the way it is, where all of those same narratives are reinforced over and over and over again, it's radical. It is radical for us to go in and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I choose to forgive that, and I'm going to choose to find meaning in that. I'm going to challenge that belief, and I'm going to radically trust my own inner knowing. We get intuitive flashes constantly. How many of us pay attention to, oh, well, yeah, I was thinking about you earlier. Why?
Yeah.
Why were you thinking about that person earlier and then you ran into them at the grocery store?
Yeah.
And that's just the vague one. How many times have you been in the grocery store and you heard your name called and you turn around and there's nobody there or nobody looking at you? And you're like, well, what was that? Okay, that was an intuitive, clairaudient experience of something that we could have a whole another podcast of right?
Yeah.
So we have, and especially your mothers, you're gonna notice that mother's intuition, right? You can just look at your kid and know when something's wrong. You don't know necessarily what it is, but
Yeah.
you know. So what if you applied that I know to everything?
And you trusted it.
And then you go to other women, and you say, I have this knowing about this. What you're gonna hear 9 times out of 10 is me too.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the
All
real
right. I
awakening
want to
of the
ask you
fulfillment.
about hold this intuition of yours. And you're open channel to create the tarot deck. So there's not many times you hear someone who has had a post-operative stroke, significant visual loss, and as she's recovering, you're not just laying there watching Hallmark or listening to Hallmark movies. You create a tarot deck, 22 major arcana card deck. Do I have that
Well, it
right?
was paintings. I
Oh my
painted them.
gosh. You
They were
painted
acrylic
them and then
paintings.
it created. Oh my gosh.
But I never published it as a deck. I just have pictures of them. Yeah.
You
And I
must.
sold part of it. Like there was a few people in the community that heard about what happened, and they saw where I had posted on Facebook pictures of the paintings or some of them, and I got invited to do a couple of art shows and a presentation and stuff, and so I did that. But where did the idea come from? That's a really good question. I will say that I had in my early 20s discovered oracle decks and tarot, and I had always been fascinated with things that I did grow up with, like dowsing. I'd always heard that from the older folks, that's how they found where to dig the well kind of thing, And so I had heard all these things, and I always had this sense of, well, I could do that. Why couldn't I? Right. So for a time there, I did in my early 20s study tarot. And you don't study tarot. You can go back and read about it and learn different things, but you learn to look at a trigger object and trust your intuition about it. That's really all that that's all that's to it. But there are some things to it. So
What do you
one of the
mean? On the card, you look at part of the artwork,
yes
or
yes yes
okay. Well, so
yes
it's like Oracle. That's what you do with
That's
Oracle.
exactly
You
what it
look
is.
at the
That's exactly
artwork
how
and
you read tarot. You start with what stands out to you and what that means to you, because it's coming through your constructs.
Okay, because I found that tarot is intimidates me because I feel like I don't know all the layouts and all the rules
That's
and things.
because you're taught to read it all first rather than trust your intuition and then validate by going
And
back
I
to
don't
what the
do that.
intuition.
I'm conversational with spirit, so I'm all oracle.
Well,
I just
and here's where it's really helpful, because I recognize this from the psychology program I attended. I attended a very unique one. It's humanistic transpersonal psychology. We were one of the few in the country that was modeled after Saybrook Institute in California. So it's humanistic, existential, transpersonal, right?
Ooh.
So I had a clinical track along with really cool classes like music, mind, and art, children's spirituality, Buddhist
Oh,
theory, right?
yummy.
So I got some really good education. And in some of that, I had this one class, Psychology of Myth and Symbol, and we had to study Joseph Campbell's work. And so he was the one, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking, okay, I wanted to question myself, but he was the one who coined the term the hero's journey. And he talks about it's the same thread under every movie, every story you've ever watched or read. And so I got to looking at the major arcana one day, and I was like, oh, it's the hero's journey from beginning to end. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And at some point, I'm looking at the suits, because the suits were always more challenging because archetypes are easier. Like it's like a big picture in little details, whereas you've got to remember what information goes with this number of this thing, right? And what that item means. So I recognized that the four suits, which of course this is where our modern day playing cards come from, is tarot. The four suits are really the four main archangels, because each of these archangels stand at a cardinal direction holding each one of these items. So Gabriel holds the cup or the chalice. Uriel holds the coin or the pentacle. Raphael is in the east. He holds the caduceus or the wand or the rod, however you want to interpret that. And then Michael carries the sword in the south. So I was like, okay, these are actually angelic frequencies, just like the archetypes are angelic frequencies, right? What is the archetype of the divine feminine? Right. So it was this, let me just see what happens. And I took the Rider-Waite deck, which is the sort of the original that most people refer to, and where it was a masculine figure, I made it feminine. Where the color white was used, I made it black. So if anybody knows the tarot enough to know, Your fool is your very first card. It's number zero. They go up to
Yeah.
21, so you have 22 cards. So the fool is on a cliff with a gunny sack and a dog. So he's leaving home or leaving the community to go on an adventure, not knowing what he's gonna, what's gonna happen. And he goes through the perils, gains his tools, uses them, and ascends, so to speak, grows, becomes a new person, whatever the storyline is. But he comes out having used those tools properly, gaining the knowledge of how to use them, right? And he comes to the world card where it's victory with all four of those items. So, but on the fool card, for example, you see a male figure with a gunny sack and a white dog. So, and he's on a cliff, right? So I made a woman in black robes with a wand in her hand in front of the full moon on a cliff with a black cat. It's
Oh,
like, this is
perfect.
so witchy, right?
I love
So I
it.
did that, except for I kept the emperor, but shifted him to more elven, kind of an elven look with
Yeah.
tattoos on his hands where he's holding the sword with the Aries symbols on it. The tattoos on his hands all represent the divine feminine. So you have the moon and things like that. So,
Beautiful. Beautiful.
yeah. So I had no idea what I was
I
getting
mean,
myself
that's
into.
amazing. I mean, it sure kind of answers Quentin's question. Like, no matter what happens, we're growing from it. Listen, I loved having you on. I hope you'll come back sometime.
Sure,
How can
anytime.
people get a hold of you?
Well, you can go to Psychology Today, actually. The best way to see a more a full idea of what I do and how I do that is going to be with eyes to see and ears to hear. When you look at my Psychology Today profile, the little website I have for it is subpar. And the Sanctuary of Crystal Sophia, hopefully that website will launch this fall. So you
Great.
can
Well, we'll
type
put it
in
all
Mindy
in the
Jackson.
comments. Yeah.
Yes, it'll be in the comments. And when you go to Psychology Today, you just put in the therapist's name and the location. If you can't remember Carrollton, Georgia, just remember Georgia and look for the redhead.
Very good. Well, we'll put it in all the
Sure.
notes here. So everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. And you can find me at rachelcorpus.com. You can catch Angel Talk the podcast. And Thomas says he'll have that in the episode description. He's so great. Thank you, Thomas. We love you. Catch Angel Talk the podcast. Season 3 is coming up, and join me all next week, same time, and we'll have a great discussion again. So I love you all. Keep being kind to yourselves and others, and keep that halo straight.
Heart, breathe deep, let the light come in. No perfect questions, no polished disguise, just real people talking to the lives all on the show today. Ask the angel, nothing's too bizarre. Your soul's got questions and we've got stars. She'll bring the love, love. She'll bring the zing. She'll bring the truth with a little swing. Ask the angel, turn the volume high. Heaven just walked in with a twinkle in its eye.